us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, and in understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. Listen to the word of God. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches off palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of the Lord.
And so listen to Jeremiah 1, and may God open our ears and our eyes. The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. "Ah, Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak because I am only a child, I'm only a youth." And the Lord responded, "Don't say, 'I am only a youth or a child.' Where I send you, you must go. And what I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them, because I am with you to rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I am putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you, today I appoint you, over nations and empires, to dig up and to pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious God, it is encouraging. Jeremiah's words are encouraging to us that God knows us. That somehow Jeremiah's echoing phrase about God knowing him in his mother's womb long ago, that God consecrated him for this moment, gives us hope. Because it says all along the way, God has been with us and preparing us for this moment. Preparing us for the challenges of today. And so make us fully present right now. Help us not to drift too far ahead to what we'll be doing later this afternoon. Or maybe what we carry into this sanctuary this morning. Help us to be fully present and aware of your word for us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to let you in on a little thing that goes around in my head. It has been for like the last year or so. I just want someone to explain to me the meaning of the word bandwidth. That's B-A-N-D-W-I-D-T. Some scholar will tell me afterwards. But bandwidth, we hear it all the time. We weren't saying this word, I don't think, 20 years ago. I wasn't saying bandwidth that often, but I sure hear it a lot today. For example, I will say to someone, "Hey, you want to go to a show? You want to go out for a beer? You want to go for a walk?" And then someone will say to me, they'll say back, "You know, I don't have enough bandwidth in my schedule today for that kind of thing." I don't have enough bandwidth. Wow, have you noticed the galaxies around us, the stars, how infinity plus infinity equals infinity? Have you thought about those kind of things? Oh, don't say no more. My brain doesn't have enough bandwidth for all of those things. It's almost as if someday we'll be sitting on the couch and, our wife or husband or kids will sit down next to us and they'll say, "Can you just move over a little bit? I don't have enough bandwidth." We're saying that word quite frequently here. I often wonder, what does that person really mean? At the most basic level of understanding, at least how I understand it, the term bandwidth refers to the amount of information that someone or something, let me start again, refers to the amount of information that something like a connection to the internet can handle at a given time or at the same time. And I think a lot of us know this. So if you're in the house and you have all those devices running at the same time, someone is trying to watch something on Netflix and someone's trying to listen to Spotify or Pandora and someone's trying to text their friends, and all these things have a demand on our internet. Possibly they'll all freeze at once, or maybe they won't work at all, or they'll go super slow and we won't know exactly why. That's what we say, we need more bandwidth. We need more bandwidth. You know, I read somewhere, if you're really struggling with this issue, you just have to compare it to indoor plumbing. It's something like this. You just have to think that imagine there's one pipe in your house, it's a fairly regular pipe. That's where all the water comes from. But when someone is like washing the car and someone's taking a shower and someone's doing the dishes and someone left the faucet on, suddenly the water pressure begins to diminish. At least that happened in all the old houses that my wife and I used to own. That's the trouble with bandwidth. But my point in saying all this and letting you into my kind of struggle over this term is that I am wondering whether or not comparing our internet and data demands to the way we assess our abilities and our limitations on time is actually true. Is this a good analogy for how we really work? Does just because we're having trouble with our internet, does that somehow relay over to how I deal with my life and the demands on my life? God Almighty, the creator of everything, approaches Jeremiah and says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I prepared you for this moment. I blessed you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." And then suddenly, this Jeremiah, who now lives in this era, says to God, "God, really? You know, I don't have enough bandwidth for all that. I'm only a youth. I don't know how to speak. Really, God?" But my question to you is, what if this happened to you? What if God spoke to you? What would you say? What would you say? Don't have enough bandwidth? Think about a time when you were clearly over your head. Think about a time when you felt yourself sinking underwater. Think about a time when everybody thought you knew what you were doing, but inside you didn't have a clue what you were going to do next. If you want to have this experience, all you have to do is go to a committee meeting and raise your hand. Just raise your hand, and soon you'll be up doing something in front of people, and you won't know exactly why. It's that circumstance when somebody else sees more in us than we see in ourselves. Someone believes in us more than maybe we believe in our own abilities. But there we are. Suddenly we find ourselves in front of all these people doing this thing, and they think we know what we're doing. We don't. Yesterday at this March for Our Lives rally, which was very inspiring, we watched one girl. Her name was Samantha Fuentes. She stepped to the mic, this teenager, 16 or 17 years old, and as she came up to the microphone, you could tell she was hyperventilating. Her face was a little pale. She was breathing quickly. I even said to Heather in front of me, "Breathe." I think the entire 600,000 people who were there all said, "Just breathe, you're going to make it." She started to speak. She spoke with gusto. She was one of the survivors from the high school in Parkland, Florida. She spoke about reducing gun violence in America. She spoke with passion, with conviction. She spoke under a beautiful blue sky and with the nation's capital right behind her. She spoke with conviction, and that's when she threw up. Right there, in front of 600,000 people. She bent over. Someone came to her aid, stood by her. And as she was struggling, and we all felt for her, suddenly the audience started cheering her on. You could feel it. It was like electricity in the crowd. Come on. Get up. Speak. And then she stepped to the mic and she gave me the best quote of the day. She said, "I just threw up on international television, and it feels great." Then she went on to finish her speech to thunderous applause. I can imagine another teenager, age 17, a 17-year-old Jewish boy, just living on the outskirts of Jerusalem in a little town called Anathoth in the 6th century BCE. He approaches the microphone to say words he probably never imagined he would ever say. He says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, people of Judah. Listen to the Lord's word, people of the earth. Death has climbed through our windows." I'm not making this up. This is Jeremiah 9:21. "Death has climbed through our windows. Death has climbed into our schools. Death has climbed into our communities. It has entered our fortresses to eliminate our children and our youth from our streets. How can you say we are wise and the law is on our side? How can you say we are so wise when we allow high-powered rifles in the hands of good and bad people? We look for peace. We await a time of healing. But right now, we are terrified." I heard this speech given several times yesterday. Maybe some of you also heard this speech. Sometimes the situation demands a prophetic witness. Sometimes the situation demands that we expand our bandwidth. Sometimes the situation demands that we stand up and we say, "Enough is enough." Sometimes the situation demands that we respond not yesterday or tomorrow when we have time or sometime in the future, but today. To begin to understand Jeremiah's prophecy, I think we have to care about what time it is. We have to care about time. When I was growing up and our family went on vacation, somehow my dad always made sure we either went through Las Vegas or Reno. That was a family vacation for me. So I'm just telling you, I can find my way around a casino, which is an odd thing for a minister to say, I know. But inside a casino, if you've been in one of these things, you know that there are no clocks on the wall. You really can't tell what time it is. The lights are on. There's people winning and losing money. There's the clinking, clamoring sound of quarters hitting a metal tray. You never know what time it is. You lose all sense of time. I remember as a kid going bowling at the MGM Grand in Reno, Nevada at midnight and not getting home till 4 in the morning. But, you know, I didn't know what time it was. You have no idea, no indication if it's day or night. The point is, if we never keep track of time, or we never care about time, then nothing ever seems that urgent. Nothing ever seems that important. It may be time to leave, but maybe time to leave the casino, but we don't know it's time. We never feel that it's important. If we don't care about time, we seemingly put things off forever and ever and ever. Indefinitely. Abraham Heschel, one of the leading Jewish theologians in the 20th century, one of my favorite theologians, writes about Jeremiah's situation. Heschel wrote, "Jeremiah's contemporaries had no understanding of the portent of their times, of the way in which God was present at the time. They did not care for time. But a prophet has a responsibility for the moment, an openness to what the moment reveals. Here is a person who knows what time it is." Jeremiah knew what time it was. God says to Jeremiah, Today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. Today I appoint you to pluck up and to pull down. Today I appoint you to destroy and overthrow and build and plant. Today. One scholar, Old Testament scholar at a Luther seminary, writes this of Jeremiah. He writes, "Jeremiah's proclamation is continually present tense. So it doesn't matter what we did yesterday, doesn't matter what we plan for tomorrow, or what we hope we'll do tomorrow, doesn't matter. Because this prophecy, this demand, comes today." So let me ask you, brothers and sisters, Presbyterians, what time is it? Today, right? What time is it?
Today.
What time is it?
Today.
When will we begin? When will we begin?
Today.
When will we start to change things in this country?
Today.
When will we begin to reclaim America's soul?
Today.
When will we begin to protect our youth and our children on our streets?
Today.
You know, yesterday was amazing. It was inspiring. It was inspiring to get on the bus full of people, happy people. Presbyterians get along on a bus, turns out. Sing songs on the bus. To go up there and to be with so many people, 600,000 people. I brought my t-shirt. Here it is. I didn't get Lynn Clements one, but I will sometime. There it is. And to sit there and to listen to youth from all around the country, from California and Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and California, you know, I already know who I'm going to vote for president in 2031. It's that Latino girl I heard speak. She spoke with tears streaming down her face. By the way, out of all the prophets, Jeremiah is considered the weeping prophet. The prophet who weeps and cries. And yesterday I saw a lot of Jeremiahs. I saw a lot of our youth getting up and talking about their brother or their sister who was gunned down in the streets, maybe on their way home from school. We sang happy birthday to one of the students that was shot down in Parkland, Florida. Every student that got up to speak, we started to weep. But I'm here to say you haven't missed a thing. If you didn't go to a rally, didn't see anything on TV, if you want to get caught up in the moment, all you have to do is go home and YouTube this small speech by Yolanda Renee King, a 9-year-old girl, the granddaughter of the late Martin Luther King Jr. You just have to go home and watch her. And watch her give her tiny and strong voice to all of us as she instructed us to repeat after her. She said, "Spread the word.
Spread the word.
Have you heard?
Have you heard?
All across the nation.
All across the nation.
We are going to be a great generation.
We are going to be a great generation.
Spread the word. Have you heard?
Have you heard?
All across the nation.
All across the nation.
We are going to be a great generation.
We are going to be a great generation.
And when are we going to start spreading this word?
Today.
Starting today.